Hello, 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 my two best friends, Dr. Vanetta LaRosa and Mr. Todd Blylevin. Welcome, one and all, to the second ever live edition of the Walking Tall Movement podcast. I'm Chris Malczewski. So excited to be here with you two. We have a great show planned. But Todd, you're looking mobile. You have a great story while you're in your car. Tell it real quick.
Yeah, I had to leave the house real quick. My neighbor's getting his roof taken off or put it back on. I don't know what they're doing, but there's tons of noise. So I ran down to our city park and sitting in the comfortable truck. But yeah, like you said, I can do that. I'm in Texas in January and we don't have snow on the ground. So it's nice.
Yeah, no sympathy for you and your neighbor's new roof. Dr. LaRosa, I want to just say thank you for powering through today. You're, without saying too much, a little under the weather, as those listening will be able to tell by your voice. But as always, you show up, and I just wanted to say thank you for that.
No place I'd rather be.
I told you, she did say she was going to be short on words today, Todd, didn't she? Yeah.
I just would like, I'd like a nice cup of soup. That would be nice.
so fun. Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, we have a great show ahead of us. I know, Dr. LaRosa, you've been itching to get Onyx on for a long time for great reason. But I just wanted to call attention to the three of us real quick. Earlier this week, I was having a conversation with somebody and they were asking about Walking Tall and what it was. And I had inevitably to go into the story of how the three of us met. And I don't know that like the three of us actually like celebrate or ever like are astonished as much as really we should be at how we came to be and how like our movement and how our shows and our advocacy really got formed. It's like, to me, it's giving me tingles just thinking about it. And if you don't know, we'll link our first show, which we've come a long way from, by the way, talking about how we got to be. But Dr. LaRosa, you were also saying backstage, if not for your son and baseball, like we wouldn't be, and certainly Onyx wouldn't be on. And to me, it's just pretty special that we're still doing this after, you know, nearly 2 years.
Absolutely. It's a great story and we should definitely relive it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, you know, Todd, that you and I came to be friends as we did through our experiences, but I'm so happy to be where I'm at in life. And I know you are, and Dr. LaRosa would be as well if she wasn't so sick and coughing. But, you know, like I just get so excited when we come together and do these shows, and I know others do as well. And it's a highlight of my, you know, my week when we get together. So thanks for doing this again, huh, Todd?
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. You know, we've always gotten along. Always had this commonality amongst all three of us to just talk about, you know, hard things, but keep it light and provide guidance. And, you know, I know Dr. Vanetta, she's Dr. Vanetta, Dr. LaRosa, Vanetta. She's our brain, and you and I are both the monkeys. We jump around, but it's been, God, how long has it been? Chris,
we're going on like 2 years now of just sticking out, man. It's kind of crazy.
I met Todd when Vito was 15, remember? Because I remember your video. You said he's 15 and he runs a 6.5, you know, now. Remember, I just remember that from your video.
I know. And Todd,
I always wanted to jump on Vito's back and just to feel like, hey, this is what it feels like to run fast.
It's so funny. Well, all right. That's amazing segue, Todd. We didn't even plan it, brother. Talking about running fast, right? Coach Onyx Salva is our guest today. And, you know, if you don't know who he is, he's the owner of Speed Island in Garden City, New York. And as I referenced earlier, Dr. LaRosa has been adamant at getting Onyx on the show, and for good reason, as we'll learn here shortly. But I've gotten to know him briefly, and his story is miraculous. What he's doing through his experiences are no different than what we chose to do through ours, Todd and Dr. LaRosa. So Coach Onyx Salva is a great example of walking tall. And Sia, if you wouldn't mind, please bring Onyx to the stage. We're going to get to know him and have a little bit of fun.
Ooh, wow. I like that. All right.
Ooh, Onyx. Big crowd.
Standing row for Coach Onyx Salva. Onyx, I hope I did you justice in a brief introduction, but I mean it with sincerity. Vanetta has been adamant about bringing you on at some point. I'm so happy we've been able to do that at a point in time where I think the topic of discussion, youth and young adult mental health, is so, so important. But before we dig into that, if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself, who you are, how you came to be, and what Speed Island's all about.
Well, first, I'd like to say thanks for having me. I was looking forward, you know, to this moment for quite a while, talking with Vanetta. So my name is Onyx Sav. I'm the owner of Speed Island. We actually just made 3 years last week in regards to when I actually started the company. So I could say in regards to like my history and why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, you know, this is how I pay it forward to my mentors. So when I was young, you know, I grew up with, I didn't have my biological father around. So growing up, I would have abandonment issues and, you know, I was around hanging around the wrong crowd in the streets and stuff like that. And I was always a talented athlete. You know, we moved out to Lynbrook when I was in 7th grade and I went to Marvin High School. And then I played football and I started running track when I was a junior. And my coach took me under his wing. He labeled me as his son. And I'll never forget this. I ran a 6.4 out of nowhere. It was a 55-meter dash. And he said, "We're going to have a talk on Monday." And I said, "Okay." So Monday, I got this old man get on one knee. And he says, "If you could please stop your stuff, I'll prove to you that you're not a statistic. All right, just let me take you under my wing." And this is the man that was he was a huge community leader. He coached an Olympic gold medalist, Derek Atkins, in the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. So I said, "All right, you know what? I fully trust this man." And to make a long story short, I honor him and my mentors through Speed Island. That's how I pay it forward. So they had a not-for-profit where they was able to help out the youth, struggling teens. And he completely changed the direction of my life. So, you know, each one reach one, teach one. That was his philosophy, and I just carried that over. So,
can you stop real quick on it? Can you say that again, slower? Because that like hit home, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's each one, reach one, teach one.
Love it. Love it.
You know, I took those principles, and, you know, this is my way of paying it forward.
Gosh, man, that just gave me tingles again. I don't know if you heard how we opened the show, but I got the goosebumps, and it's not because it's below zero, unlike you, Todd. But, you know, Onyx, talk a little bit about, you know, yourself as a young athlete. If you don't mind, expand a little bit on some of the troubles maybe you were getting into that your coach recognized that, hey, time out, that's not good enough for what he now called his son. And then if you don't mind, what exactly is Speed Island? What are you doing to mentor youth athletes, particularly in your hometown? And, you know, how do you take that a little bit further than most coaches normally would?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question first. So when I was a high school athlete, I had a lot of anger issues in me. So while I was playing football, I was an aggressive baseball player as well. I played shortstop. You know, I was always talking, but I couldn't handle my emotions. So if I struck out, you know, I was upset. If I didn't do well in football, I was upset. And that was a difficulty that other coaches had was how do we reach Onyx, right? But with Coach Britt, it was more about me as a person, not the athlete, right? So once I saw that he loved me and cared about my well-being as a person outside of sports, he had me. He had me. And I'll never forget this. There was a time I was a really good baseball player, right? And I grew up playing baseball, and I ran track as a junior, and here we go, spring season, baseball or track. So baseball coach says I had to choose. Britt said, "Listen, we could work out in the morning. Baseball is your passion. We'll do that. We'll work around it." I chose track. So that was my upbringing as an athlete. And I was the first person in my family to graduate college because of him. I never knew that I would be able to reach that, but it was handling my emotion, handling my abandonment issues growing up. He was able to help me channel all that into positive energy, and that worked in my benefit. So at Speed Island, what I do is, I require, as part of registration, each athlete has to give me the academic transcripts, right? So and you need at least a 70 or above in each class every quarter in order to stay eligible to train on Speed Island. So that's my way of letting them know, like, this is bigger than sports. I need to make sure you're good academically. So parents, I get the buy-in right away. So when we get the athlete in, I have a lot of heart-to-hearts with them. And I say, what are your dreams? What are your goals? Where do you see yourself in, you know, after high school? I take that approach with them. The success they've had in sports, that's just a byproduct of the mentorship aspect of it. You know, I have one person, he helps me out and some of the athletes out with the mentorship part of it, because mentally, you know more than I do, it affects you whether you run, if you run well in a race or if you don't run well in a race, it could affect you for the next two or three track meets, or the next two or three games, you know, and then the pressures of recruiting. That's a big issue, you know. So athletes come to me around 5 o'clock in the evening, right? And then on the weekends, it's a long day. You go to school, you got to study, you got, you know, whatever social aspects you got to do, and then you got to come to Speed Island. And Speed Island isn't easy. So, you know, sometimes, well,
looking for old fat baseball pitchers like Todd and I, like, and I don't, Todd, we're not fat by any means, but that's just, Speed Island sounds scary. So Onyx, I want to just stop you right there, because you've said so much that I just want us to unpack, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, first off, you know, obviously Todd and I have an extensive background in baseball as well, and having coached, and Dr. LaRosa having grown up in the game herself as a young girl, and now both, you know, Vito playing and stuff. It's just amazing to hear the impact coaches really have on our lives, right? And hear the coach had on yours. And Todd, I know you've talked and we've had great conversation about your experience in baseball, but, you know, hearing Onyx's story a little bit as growing up, what kind of memories and what some of your great thoughts about some of maybe your past coaches?
I mean, you know, it's so awesome to hear you give back to the coaches and the mentors that helped shape your life and where you are today. And I give a lot of praise to my high school coach, my Connie Mack coach, my first minor league professional coach. I mean, you have all these milestone people that teach you different life lessons along your journey of life, and the resilience piece and how to cope with certain difficulties that you run into. And you had that difficulty growing up. I think, you know, you had me when you said you were running a 6'4", and I've never run a 6'4" in my life.
Did you even drive that fast to the park?
Yeah, no. But I remember a coach McNair. He was a running coach, and he worked with guys like Gary Pettis and Devon White back in the day, and Luis Polonia, guys that could really scoot at the big league level. And my whole thing in baseball, and I was a quarterback in high school, was I wanted to get faster. And I remember working with him, and I never realized that it's not just about running. It's about the form, right? And it's about the foot placement. And there's so much that goes into it. It's a science. You got to have God-given ability. But there's a way to make yourself better. And I just remember he made me a better runner, but he also instilled confidence in me to just be a better person. And that was one aspect of my life where I felt like, I can't do that, when really I could be an average runner and I could compete. Right. And it just made me feel good. So I don't know. I love your journey. I love how you're giving back. It's so cool.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Dr. LaRosa, we'll get to you, because I'm excited to hear your firsthand experience, and I'll ask you a few questions differently. But, you know, it's funny. I was playing around on social media maybe today or the other day, as I often do. And there was some post or something talking about success as professionals. Right. And how maybe at times others step on each other's toes to get ahead of in life or climb up the ladder. And you know, I just thought, wow, how great, how much things have changed for me, right, Todd and Onyx and even Dr. LaRosa, you could probably attest as a young adult, right? Success looked so different. It looked as if I wanted to get that scholarship. I wanted that six-figure salary. I want all of these things. And now as we get older and we realize what's important in life, I define success as like, hey, I was just invited to my former employee, who I was their boss, if you want to call it that, for a few years, to her wedding. Or one of my former players brought his son to my baseball game. You know how impactful that really is? And Onyx, it's just so inspiring to hear that not only are you able to train athletes, get really fast, something like Todd, I was never good at, you know, being 5'10 and then a squatty bodied pitcher. But you care about the development of them as people, right? And that's so impactful as a coach. And part of the reason why Dr. LaRosa, you wanted to have Onyx on is you were pleading with for many, many moons, and I'm glad it finally worked out. But your son, you know, your family has been directly impacted by Onyx's work. And I'm just so excited to hear, you know, kind of firsthand all of your thoughts, if you don't mind, and your thoughts about the development of young adults in general as well.
Of course. Well, you said it, Chris, in your last words, success is a perception. It's a subjective place in time. It's how we view ourselves and how we feel others perceive us, right? So for my son, his story is a little bit different. He's always been extremely athletic. Athletics, any sport came easy to him. So he took a lot of personal strength from his athletic abilities, all God-given, right? Baseball is the sport he's been playing since he was four. And he was always the best. You know, he always worked really, really hard, and no one really ever had to ask him to work hard. He'd wake up at 5 a.m. with his uniform on, waiting at the door at 7 years old, you know, saying, "Do we have a triple header today?" You know, I never had to. It was great because it kept us on our toes, and it kept us, you know, excited about what was exciting to him. But what happened along the way is that he lost a personal connection to himself. And Onyx, you said this, your coach believed in you as a person, not just you as an athlete. Even though we love him and we've raised him as you know, believing in himself as a person, he identified primarily with himself as an athlete. And when he was introduced to track, now he had 2 indoor seasons of track, only 1 outdoor. When he was introduced to track, he initially started it because he wanted to be faster for baseball. Well, he did end up the fastest in the 2024 class in baseball, running a 6.36, I think it was.
She had to drop that because that was faster than yours, Onyx. You see how that works? See?
No, but
real quick, like, talk about the experience. I know you're getting to it, but Vito, you know, what was it like working directly with Coach Salva, and what do you believe so greatly in?
Yeah, that's where I was kind of going, because when Vito heard about Onyx, he heard about it through one of his friends, somebody he admired, a year older than him, who was a really fast track runner. And he said he trained at Speed Island. So Vito's like, "I really want to check this place out. I really want to go," you know. And I think he might have been 15 at the time, or maybe turning 16. I can't remember. But we went. And what I remember at that time was something changed in him. He started to see himself as part of a family. He started to see himself as part of an integral group of very successful athletes. And being around them and being with them helped him to believe in himself and in a different level. I still remember the video where he ran a 4:40 at Speed Island, and he's with some of your coaches. And for the first time, I looked at that video and I was so happy because I saw joy and happiness, and he was lighter, and he seemed as if he was transforming, and he wasn't so hard on himself for everything that he was doing. He was not a kid that gave himself a break at all. And he went to Speed Island, and he knew that hard work and contending with these guys and being around the Speed Island family was adding to his value, not only to as an athlete, but as an overall human. And he received a lot of support from Speed Island through injuries, through times where races didn't go his way. All this stuff really helped him through some really difficult times in his life. So firsthand, I can tell you, you know, I saw how it made a huge difference, you know, for my son to be part of Speed Island. And that's one of the reasons why I'm working with Onyx now, to bring this wonderful culture and this amazing athletic drive to the kids that I serve at Helping Hands.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And it's a natural fit, right? In so many ways. And as you said, you know, Dr. LaRosa, just seeing confidence building, and, you know, I take my kids to the trampoline park, and, you know, to see their confidence grow is, "Daddy, I can't do a flip." And then the next week they're doing a flip, right? And all of these things that athleticism builds in others. And Dr. LaRosa, we were talking backstage, and as always, you reminded me that even though I'm 42, my brain is developed. It stops developing at 33, right? And I question that still to this day.
Yeah, I do too, because I think I'm getting smarter.
That's just your head getting bigger, Todd. That's the beauty of a live show, right? Like, think about that. Shows ago, we wouldn't have been able to laugh at that. That is so funny, Todd. Thank you for that. But, you know, and I, of course, you know, wanting to transition just a little bit, you know, to a little bit more of focused of young adults, right? And we all, in our own way, shape, or form, come into contact on a daily basis, whether it's training or working with or mentoring as a supervisor, whatever the case may be, young adults. And it was so alarming to me to hear, you know, from 18 to 25 over the last year, 3.8 million young adults have attempted to take their own life, right? And I just think about how the pressures of society today that we as young adults didn't have, social media, and we talked about, you mentioned it, on scholarships and the recruiting process and all of these outside impacts. And Dr. LaRosa, I would love to hear you just a little bit talk about some of the science behind, or some of the things you know through your studies and your expertise about young adults and the pressures maybe that they're facing today and how it's impacting them.
Well, in terms of mental health for teens, we have to understand that the manifestation of a lot of these symptoms is not what we would traditionally see in adults, right? So we might see things like anger issues, angry outbursts, or frequent physical complaints, or neglecting their personal hygiene, or the classic symptoms, withdrawal and changes in appetite and things like this. It all may come together, but it could be so quick. It could be so quickly masked by their attempts at self-medicating with drugs or alcohol or even vaping, you know, for some degree. And kids do all these crazy things that I hear about now, taking nicotine pills. I couldn't even imagine half the stuff that goes on or what would provoke them to do all these different things. But the pressures are so high. And I know that in the school system, there is no time to stop and take a breath. There's no time for a kid to say, you know, I'm really anxious. I cannot come to school today and take this midterm. There is no, when we were kids, you know, the workload wasn't nearly what it is now, right? And some of these kids, they just don't have a break, and they have to constantly perform in the classroom. They have to constantly keep up with the Joneses. They have to, you know, excel in you know, athletics or clubs or whatever else have you. And they do feel this constant pressure of, from the second they get into high school, they're being told to prepare for their college admission and what colleges they're looking for and things like that. So we have to understand that, you know, sometimes kids really just need a break, you know, and they really need to understand failure is a huge part of life. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. The one thing that's very difficult for kids who have depression, for example, or something along that spectrum, is that they replay their failures over and over again in their heads. And they have a really difficult time moving forward. When you translate that to an athlete, as Onyx was saying, it could be they miss a play or they strike out or, you know, something like this. I told Vito when he was really early, offense and defense are two different things. You struck out, go on the field, save a run. You know, reset your mindset every single time. Every single time you go on the field.
You knew you were a baseball mom. Like, get your butt out there and play defense.
Offense and defense are two different things. Don't go out there moping if you struck out, because they still need you in the field.
I love it. And, so funny.
You know, and it became good for him. It was a thing, you know. It was like, because when he used to play shortstop before he grew extremely tall, well, now he was always tall, but, you know, he said, no ball is going to get out of the infield as long as I'm here. You know, he had these challenges for himself all the time, you know, and these were things that he could handle. Not all kids can handle that. You know, I've seen kids on the field. I've seen parents on the field who are so negative and they're so hard on their kids that it really makes me want to, you know, many times over, it's made me want to go over there and just tap them on the shoulder nicely and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong, you know. And I remember this one time we went to a tryout. It was the Long Island Junior Ducks, right? And I remember, I don't want to brag about Vito and tell you, you know, something he did again.
Oh, yes, you do. Come on. Come on. Come on.
This other little kid was so cute. He was a little younger than Vito. And he went out there. He played his little heart out. And he came off the field. He said to his dad, "Did I do good today, Dad?" You know, and the dad just had like this face. "Well, you could have done this and you could have done that." And so I had no choice. I had to interrupt. And I said, "I loved how you made that play. You know, you did so good today." You know, like I just cut the father right off at the knees. And it was, I really hope that he learned something in that moment in time, because I saw how vulnerable that little kid was, how much he just needed his dad to say, "You did a great job." You know, sometimes 100%. It's not about how they perform. It's about how they feel about themselves performing. And a lot of this ties into their development, not only as an athlete, but as a person, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that in sports and anything else, I think that people really need to lead with a little bit more empathy. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for toughness and, you know, coaching at a highly competitive level, because of course there is. But there are plenty of times too when that little athlete just needs development, you know, and he needs empathy or she needs empathy and understanding.
100%. And Todd, you know, we talk a lot about the pressures of athletes and young adults in general, you being the parent of two college age students yourself, and they've had their own, I don't want to say struggles, because we all have challenges, right? We all have life throw different curveballs at us, if you will. And, you know, you growing up as a young adult and being so talented as an athlete, and then obviously being the son of a Hall of Famer, provided a whole new level of, I'm sure, you know, different challenges for you. And so I'm so excited to hear about not only how you grew up and, you know, talking a little bit about the challenges you may have faced, and now seeing what you're seeing in your own kids and how so much that's changed.
Well, I agree. It looks like we lost Vanetta there for a minute. But I think
just coughing. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Vanetta, you're coughing. Jeez. Let's go. Tough this out. I'm just kidding. Now, I think when we look at the pressures of life, every generation has had pressures. Our grandparents had the pressures of war, and their parents before them, and their parents before them. Every generation has had the pressures of life. I know growing up myself, I was playing three games a day. I was constantly, you know, questioning my own ability. I had pressure all over the place. When I compare like everything that we went through as adults and the pressures of life, whether it was divorce or, you know, just different things that you saw your parents going through, or loss of life in your family, or getting, you know, introduced to drugs and, you know, is that acceptable? And your friends are doing it and you don't really want to do it. And so, you know, all the different adversities that we have, the issues that the differences though in today's kids is the phone. It's the social media. It's the instant gratification of even the tournaments that we play. And Chris, like, you're younger than I am. I didn't grow up in the travel ball world. I coached in the travel ball world, right? But I didn't play in the travel ball world. The competitive throws that I would make, the competitive times that I would go play, was mostly during the weekends. So during the week, I might have a Connie Mack game. I might have a scout game when I was in high school once or twice, but not practice all the time. I wasn't nonstop. I had a chance to go out and ride my bike, go climb a tree, get lost in some neighborhood. I didn't even know where I was at because I'd ride forever, right? I'd wake up in the morning, wherever I was dirty. If we were living in Pittsburgh or Cleveland, sometimes I'd go get in the woods and I'd have my army fatigues on as a kid and I'd go climb trees and I didn't even know where I was at. But that was before social media. Now there's all this pressure. I look at even like the awards that people are getting, the big old giant rings when you play in a tournament, that, you know, you're playing for these gold medals and all these things. And Onyx, you're in this every day now, dealing with the pressures of these athletes, like not only wanting to succeed at home or succeed for their schools, but the social media aspect has to play a huge part on this instant gratification, right? So
yeah,
this is such a great topic. And how do you continue to foster the communication that you're instilling right now, Onyx? I know, Chris, that you've done with your kids And when you work with kids and me as well, and Vanetta being the parent she is, how do you continue to foster positivity in these kids' lives to let them take a break, to let them know it's okay to raise your hand when you're not feeling right, that it's okay to fail, right? Because that's how we learn in life. So
No, absolutely. So I always remember how I was as a teenager and the struggles I had. So for me, I don't have any kids, any biological kids, right? I have a track daughter, right? Annalise, she runs at Arkansas. So for me, you know, if I know my athletes pretty well. So every time they come in, if I see something off, I give them a look. They all know me very well. And I say, what's going on? And we've developed a relationship where the athletes are just comfortable talking to me about things. If something's off, whatever it is. And I'm just extremely honest with them, honestly, especially with like, so for example, I have a lot of football players and I have some good football players. The social media aspect of football and baseball is different than track because you got athletes that are getting like 30 offers from schools and it's all blasted on social media. So now you have other athletes that are pretty good, but now they think less than or something's wrong because they're not getting all these offers, you know, where the majority of them aren't real offers anyway. You know, it's for social acceptance. And right now I have a few athletes. I have one in particular where, you know, he has three really good Power Five schools interested in him. And it was tough the past 3 months because he had no one interested in him and he's seen his peers post. So I feel like the social media aspect in regards to sports and getting scholarships puts pressure on a lot of other athletes to the point that they feel like they're less than or they're doing something wrong. You know, so you have to instill confidence that everything's going to be all right, you know, and they can see if you're lying or not. That's the other thing. So,
sure.
Chris, like I love that, that you're, you know, you're so open and you're identifying those kids, you know, especially just having that communication, like, hey, I know something's going on. Let's sit down and talk because we're not going to just, you're doing the lesson stuff and your time is valuable. They come in, they're preparing, they're going through their emotions for whatever time you have with them. And then they're leaving and it's a repetitive process that you're getting attitude after attitude and you're trying to instill your professionalism in what you're doing, which I think is great from a Division One college coach perspective, Chris. I mean, you were a coach and you dealt with all the different personalities from a team perspective as well. When did you start to realize like, hey, some of these guys are going through the same stuff I went through, but it's a little different. And when did you become kind of like what Onyx is talking about, where you almost become a parent figure, right? I mean, Onyx, you're literally an extension to the parents.
Heck yeah, you are, you know, and I think, you know, even back when I was coaching college baseball, the landscape was so different, right? You didn't have NLI, you didn't have kids committing when they were in eighth grade as much as they are now in certain sports. And so the pressures are even different than I recall them to be, but even so much still back then, right? Where I made a name for myself and I'd like to believe was I was a relationship builder from day one. And throughout the recruiting process, you know, I made it more about the human than I did about the athlete. And parents, and as you said, Onyx, you know, family members, they see that because they're at a place in life where that's what they value. And they have that direct circle of influence on the student athlete. And so it went for a much better experience as that process went in a lot less pressure. And I was very honest with kids too. You know, if this wasn't the right place for them, that was okay. You know, and that's not likely what many kids are hearing today. And, you know, not so much talking about social media, you know, in the comparison that we have amongst society and each other. But, you know, think about just how even further deep, like just clothes and, you know, money and the poverty issues we have in America and the rate at which social media amplifies the discrepancy And, you know, unfortunately, Todd, yours and my experiences of violence and how social media amplifies these types of things, right? Our kids are seeing so much more than we saw at a young age. And it's alarming, right? And how do we as adults, right, and as leaders empower, you know, young adults to say, hey, this is how we lived. It's just moving at a faster rate. And here's how we can help you get through it. You know, it's just something that, you know, is moving too fast for all of us. And certainly for our 18 to 25 year olds, you know, as I mentioned earlier. So Onyx, how do you relate, you know, today to some of these young athletes, these young adults who, you know, sometimes feel like they're unrelatable?
Well, they keep me young. I'm 41.
So I'm 41. I would have thought 21, brother. Come on. Yeah, you're still running a 6'5".
Yeah. It's incredible.
So, you know, they keep me young. And then I have younger brothers as well. You know, so that's how I stick with the times. And then I play a lot of music in my facility. And I play a lot of Rocky, a lot of old school stuff, and I date myself.
You play Pearl Jam by chance? You play Pearl Jam by chance?
Oh, yes. Oh, my
God. I knew I, Todd, come on. You know I had to drop it in. All right. And Vanetta's shaking her head at Pearl Jam already.
So that's one of my, you know, that's one of my ways how I could connect with them. Coach, why didn't you play this? I'm like, who's that? You know, so that's kind of how I keep with the times. To try to get that buy-in. I kind of go, well, back in my day, I can't even believe I say that now. Like, you know, back in my day, this is what we did. Oh, well, no, we do this. So I have those conversations. Or when, after they're done with their cool down, I make sure they fall normal and recover. That's the downtime. They got on the normative boots. So I sit with them a lot of times and we just talk day-to-day stuff. So I'm able to learn more about their day-to-day. And the other thing is the parents speak to me a lot. They say, listen, you know, my son, my daughter, this is going on. Can you talk to them about this? So I'm getting information from both sides, you know, because it's tough because sometimes they play a song and they mention a rapper's name. I'm like, who is that? You know?
Listen, it's not just young adults. I have a 10-year-old daughter. She had a birthday party a couple weeks ago at a skating rink and she's asking for Travis Scott. And I go, I kind of knew who he was because he had a McDonald's meal or something. But I get it, right? And you guys all know how I feel about music. But what I wanted to say, you know, communication is so important. And Dr. LaRosa and Todd, I know you both have young adult children, and I admire your relationships with them so much because you guys are able to communicate, Todd, whether it's with you and Dylan and Gracie or, you know, Dr. LaRosa with you and Vito and Anthony. You guys know what's going on in their lives, and you're not afraid to share it with friends like me. And so, Todd, I want to know, like, you as a parent, how are you able to foster that relationship that is an open line of communication with Gracie or Dylan? And how, you know, how are you able to combat some of the pressures that they're experiencing, you know, in today's society?
Being kind, you know, being empathetic, allowing them to understand that me as a grown man, that I can show my vulnerability, that I'm not perfect, showing my imperfections. Letting them know that life is not perfect. I'm not on a pedestal. Putting myself down to their level. Creating an open line of communication. Letting them know constantly I love them. And I'm always here for them. And being their protector. You know, I think that's what they need too. You know, they don't need... It's tough. And Onyx has brought this up. Vanetta was bringing it up. We're all talking about it. It's tough. They don't need to be tough all the time. And I think as a parent... We need to be able to show our own vulnerability to these kids. We need to be able to not be embarrassed about it. You know, let them know, hey, I screwed up too. I made mistakes. Like this is how I learned from those. You know, provide that guide. And you know, not to keep pumping you up, Onyx, because you know I was a coach. I had an indoor training facility. I worked with you know hundreds of kids as well. I saw those kids come in, and a lot of times you do become that extension that resource for the parents to be able to gain information on, hey, how's my kid doing? Does he talk to you? Does she talk to you? So it's opening up the opportunity to even have a conversation with someone like yourself, Onyx, that's in the weeds with their kids, you know, once a week and not just sit there as a parent and then go home. You've got so much information to provide. So that's how I continue. It's a constant battle. You know, you're always like, they're going to have, they want their privacy. But I tell them I love them. You know, we're a big faith based, you know, I love to, you know, Gracie and I, we go to church every Sunday, and Dylan will go every once in a while with me, and I got to try to, you know, drag him out, but, that's his choice. And, yeah, it's great. So that's how I do it.
Man, I love it. And that's why I admire you, you know, as a man and as a father, and as you may, as Todd, you and Dr. Rosa know, Onyx, I have a 10 and an 8-year-old, and, I tell my kids, I love them almost too much. And, you know, Dad, we know, you know, and I'm overly affectionate. My daughter cringes and I give her big old hugs and kisses all the time. And luckily Lucas, my son, my eight-year-old, he's still at the point where he wants to snuggle with Dad, but, you know, and that's so important. Right. And, particularly being a single dad, only being with them half the time, I have to be, not overly right, 'cause I still have to honor, you know, their individuality and things of that sort. But, it's important for me also to be affectionate. You know, I'm a hugger. I don't know if that's a Midwest thing or what, but, you know, and young adults the same. You know, I would hug my players. I would hug, you know, when I was a supervisor, if, you know, if I would have a young adult come into my office, crying on over something, I would thank them. Thank you for trusting me enough to cry. You know how important that is, as opposed to saying, what are you doing crying? Or we never cried back in my day, like gone are those days. And so, Dr. LaRosa, as I mentioned, I envy and love your relationship with your two sons. You know, what are some of the tips and tools you've utilized to having such a great relationship with the both of them?
Well, as usual, Todd stole everything I was going to say. So, usually
Todd always wants to talk about the medical aspects, and Dr. LaRosa wants to just talk about the normal. No, that's just kidding.
It's usually funny. But you know, you hit it right on. You said it. Vulnerability is the key to trust and openness. And we are all, a lot of parents I've noticed, you know, will withhold their own shortcomings and not really talk about that time, you know, that they didn't do so well in high school or something in life, because they want their kids to do better. And I get that. But you know, life is not without backslides. You know, each and every one of us have periods in our life where we have to live through bad decisions and mistakes in order to grow from them and learn. And I think, you know, in our society, parents want to take that learning curve away. They just want to create a safe atmosphere where their kid is never challenged, hurt, and never fails in any way. And that's not life. You know, that's not reality. You know, I remember as a kid, I forgot my gym shoes every single Friday, you know. I'm sorry about my dogs. That's that little ADD, you know, in me. And it was, you know, time and time again where, you know, is that my son playing with the dogs back then? Yeah. Oh, goodness sake.
It's well, so funny.
You know, but my parents.
Speaking of young adults, but I'm kidding.
You know, I had to learn. And then, you know, eventually, I'd put my gym shoes at the door. I went to Catholic school, so we had to change our shoes and all this. But you know, I put my shoes at the door, and I remembered, because I didn't want to be the kid not able to participate in gym or sports, because I loved it, you know, just as well. But I learned my lesson. It probably took me 3 months, you know, this constant forgetting before, you know, my parents let me make that mistake. They let me make a lot of mistakes until I was able to learn to be resourceful for myself, figure things out, and problem solve. And I think that's one of my greatest attributes, you know, one of my greatest, you know, something that's helped me become successful is my resourcefulness. And I learned that because of being allowed to fail.
Yeah. Failure is a huge part of life, as we all know. And, you know, yeah, my mom is chiming in.
She's looking at that comment.
She thinks she's so funny. I don't know. Don't you have anything better to do, Mom? Get out of here. No, just kidding. You know, at the end of the day, Onyx, you know, what we've just described, you know, and Todd says it best, right? Vulnerability, approachability, communication. Right? That's exactly what Walking Tall is really all about. Like, you may not know exactly what we promote and what we advocate for, but like, you're a living testament to it, right? And empowering young adults. And uplifting them through some of their God-given abilities and enhancing them and your expertise, but also ensuring that, you know, they are doing things right and that they're developing as young adults and, the, you know, humans and at a level that are contributing to society in a positive way. Right. And
yeah.
So I just want to, you know, one more time, like if you have anything else you want to say before we turn over, turn off today's show, but you know, I want to give you the stage one more time. Like, you know, where can people find out more about you and anything else you want to say?
Yeah. So I'm gonna touch on two points that we were talking about earlier in regards to, being open and communicating. So I have a talk with my athletes and the parents when it's time for them to get tough love. You know, Dr. LaRosa, you know, we have many talks. And there was one time I was like, I got to give your baby boy some tough love a little bit. And she's like, go ahead. And he responded very well. And it's been an amazing spring season, you know? And I feel like that's when they could receive it better for me, right? And then in regards to being vulnerable, I never forget this because it broke my heart. It was Annalise Batista. It was the national championship. She won states a week before. And she didn't run as well as she could have the first day. The second day, she did awesome. But she came off and she was upset. And I ran up to her and I said, that was my fault. I ran, you know, and I told her why. And it kind of, you know, she kind of looked at me and was like, you know, she gathered herself. And then Sunday, she ran amazing. But it's... As a coach, as a mentor, if you miss a step or if you did something that you feel impacted the athlete negatively, like in regards to their performance, I own up to it. I say, listen, we're going to figure this out. That was on me. And I was stressed, but it worked out for her, right? Because she got a scholarship. So, and that's where we get the buy-in because we're all human. We're not perfect. So, and in regards to finding me, you know, I have my website, speedislandny.com. I'm all over Instagram with the social media content, you know, and, you know, right now we're finalizing my own facility. So, you know, I close next week. So it's a dream come true. But I'm not here without the parents, the athletes and everyone that's advocating for me. So, you know, it's really, I'm just extremely thankful.
Man, oh man, congratulations on your new facility. And that's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see photos and how your community and your athletes will not only benefit as athletes, but just having a safe space, right? You know, that's so integral in today's day and age is to have that place where you can feel at home if you're not at home and you know, you have somebody looking out after you, as I know you do for so many. So Onyx, thank you. And Todd, are you back with us? Everything's okay over there?
Can you see me?
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened. Like it dropped off and now all of a sudden I'm like magnified. Hello.
I love it. Well, Todd, we're just wrapping up today's show. And, you know, there was just so much great things that we discussed and you had so much great insight today. And, you know, one thing I wanted to highlight that we often get highlighted or we get commended to you and I is about being male. And, you know, being so vulnerable and being so open about our experiences and Onyx, you being a male and a minority as such is even more needed in today's society. So thank you for that. And Todd, I just wanted to get your parting thoughts, you know, before we sign off today's show.
Yeah, no, thank you, Onyx, for everything you're doing. I think, you know, the last part that you just touched on was super important, too, for us to understand that it's okay to have those tough conversations. It's okay to allow other coaches and mentors like yourself to ride our kids a little bit, to kick them in the butt, to have those hard talks. You know, sometimes we as parents can't do that. And so you got to be able to open that up and trust who you're giving that power to. And it's amazing that people are giving that power to you to shape. And that's a true testament of how far you've come in your life. And you have so much to provide. You know, it goes beyond just teaching them how to run, right? So I love what you're doing. Keep that up. Don't change that mentality. Be that rock. Keep walking tall for all those kids and those parents, because it's about them too, right? It's not just about the kid. It's about the journey of their life, and it affects their family, dinner table conversations, all of it. So keep being a positive figure, brother. You're doing amazing things.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Dr. LaRosa, doesn't surprise me that you would yell at your son in the middle of a baseball game to forget a strikeout. Powering through. Listen, this kind of backhanded compliment, but you're powering through today's show as you would always encourage your sons to do. And, you know, thank you so much for all of your input today and toughing it out as you're not feeling well. But Man, you were beyond right when saying we had to get to know Onyx. What an impactful show, and I'm just excited to hear your final thoughts.
Well, now you know why I want to bring Speed Island to my kids at Helping Hands, because even though they have disabilities, they can benefit so much from the power of being part of an athletic community, part of a group. You see, Helping Hands, the nonprofit, is based on the power of peer modeling, right? Peer mentorship. And ever since the beginning of time when I started this nonprofit, I had kids from the community come in and volunteer. So Vito started volunteering, you know, some point like elementary school. And I had kids from everywhere come in and learn about the kids with, you know, disabilities and lend their mentorship. And it created such a wonderful thing. It created a place where you're not training everything that you see, where you have kids with disabilities acting in ways that therapists and parents never would have expected, doing things that were completely typical, if you will, in some ways. And the power of mentorship and relationships at that level, I have seen it, you know, firsthand for many, many, many years. And, you know, the athletes at Speed Island are the type of kids that will want to give back. They will want to mentor, and they will want to make each and every kid that we bring in there from Helping Hands feel like, an Olympic hopeful, you know, if you will. And that is a feeling and a gift in life, I think, that all young people deserve. They should go there and they should have their talents realized, and they should feel successful for what they can do. So, you know, I say athletes of all abilities, and that's what we're striving for. And if not for my relationship with Onyx and knowing the great things that he does, I wouldn't have necessarily brought back Helping Hands to the community, because it's a nonprofit that has existed since 2004. We were very successful. We had at least a good decade of providing this recreation-based services. And then COVID hit, and, you know, unfortunately, we had to close our doors, and I have not brought it back to life. And I'm only doing that now because I really, truly believe in everything that Onyx is doing at Speed Island. And I know that it's going to bring a quality of life improvement to the kids that we serve at Helping Hands as well. So I'm really excited about that. So, you know, so keep in touch with us. I know Walking Tall is going to be partnering with us to do a fundraiser to, you know, kick off the Speed Island nonprofit mentorship relationship. And just stay tuned for that, because we have a lot of good things coming.
Yeah. No, you said it. Both you guys has always said it best. And Onyx, it's just been great to get to know you. Your story is so, so inspirational on many, many levels. And I just can't wait to continue to develop a relationship with you. But before we sign off, I'd be remiss if we didn't thank Sia Yesatorat and Brilliant Beam Media. So Sia, if there's a round of applause you can give for yourself, please do so. Your support.
Thank you, Sia.
Let's go. Your unwavering support of Dr. LaRosa, Todd, and I in the Walking Tall movement is just so, so inspiring, and we can't thank you enough. So thanks for producing, as always, a great show. Guys, if this hasn't left a mark, I don't know what will. It's been really important and a great conversation, so thank you all. Please subscribe to our channel, walkingtallmovement.com. We're on all the Instagrams and all of those things. Please follow Coach Onyx Salva and Speed Island. And there's usually one more thing we like to tell our guests before we sign off, and that's Walk Tall. So Onyx, if you don't mind, you want to lead a little Walk Tall before we say goodbye for the weekend?
Sure. How do I lead it? I don't.
You just got to say, have a great weekend, everybody. Walk tall.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Keep walking tall.
I love it. Walk tall. Thanks, guys. Walk have a great tall. Weekend. Aww.